12, I thought it was worthwhile having a discussion about why some of us, myself definitely included, are blindly devoted and followers of certain brands. And by that, it might be something you get from the supermarket. It might be something that maybe your mum and dad purchased and now you purchase, and you don't trust anyone else. Not only do you not trust anyone else, you're not even willing to try it. So that can be from the general household item, it can be sneakers, it can be anything at all, TVs, whatever it might be. But such is your devotion to one brand that you're not even willing to try another. Dr. Natalie Collins is Senior Lecturer of the School of Arts and Humanities at Edith Cowan University. Good afternoon, Natalie.
Hello.
First of all, thank you for your time on a public holiday. What does the average senior lecturer do on a public holiday besides these kinds of interviews?
Well, homework, basically. It's a time to catch up.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your time. You would have heard the introduction there, Natalie, and that sort of blind devotion to a brand is, well, that's what the retailers rely on, don't they?
Well, a lot of brands don't have that, so they can't rely on that. But it is absolutely one of my favorite topics, and it was the subject of my PhD thesis, because I myself am a blind follower of a few brands. And there is a kind of person who would like to say that they're not actually influenced, but if you dig deep enough, every one of us has a little bit of that in them somewhere.
Can I ask you about some of your own sort of brand devotions?
Sure, absolutely. I'm an Apple devotee. I've been using Apple since, and this is tells you how old I am, since the late 80s. And I disdain to use other things, and when I do have to, I feel a little dirty about it. The purest work I can do is on my Apple laptop, which is what I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm. What about us, what in our psyche makes us sort of untrusting of even trying another brand?
Well, there are a lot of theories around this, but the one that I found made the most sense, and we did do some testing on it, is a theory of quintessence, which a guy named Russell Belt came up with. And he basically just said that there are some things when you use them are so perfect for what you want them for that they become more valuable than their market value. So an example of this is your wedding ring or your engagement ring, which is more valuable than its street value if your marriage is good. And if your marriage is bad, it might have less value, right?
Well, so, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. But, for example, I can't bring myself to buy another type of pasta sauce. It's got to be a certain brand. And interestingly, Natalie, it's the same brand that my mum used to buy.
That's right. And that's probably because you have good associations with your mother and good associations with mealtime and that particular meal, perhaps. And so you've attached that particular taste to it. And everything else just tastes a little bit off or cheap, or it doesn't actually satisfy you as emotionally as that particular brand. And it doesn't actually have to be attached to a familial relationship. It can just be, oh my God, this thing is amazing. And that's, to be honest with you, what happened when I got my Apple Watch, not just because it was an Apple Watch, but having something that vibrates on my wrist 15 minutes before I need to be somewhere changed my life and the life of other people who kept waiting for me to get there.
Are there any negatives to having this sort of devotion?
Sure. I mean, one thing is it annoys other people. So when you're an Apple fan and you're absolutely devoted to it, all the Android users come out and try to make fun of you. Luckily, you're so proud of yourself, it doesn't really matter. But it can cause friction, especially if you're like me and try to get other people to use Apple as well. The other thing, too, is that blind devotion does actually limit your experiences. So if you will only fly Qantas because Qantas is the only experience you're prepared to have, it just means you can't go as many places as if you were prepared to fly other places.
That's a very good point. Now, clearly you do know a lot about Apple, and you would also realize that they've released some new products, and it is your theory that these products aren't so much directed as towards current Apple devotees?
No, it is clearly, when you look at the price point, which is a little bit lower, it's clearly a grab for some market share. You know, Apple does this thing that's a very, very careful balance. They're a key stock to look for on the stock market, and they're a key brand leader. So on one hand, they want as many users as possible. They want to make as much money as possible. But on the other hand, they want to keep their premium brand approach. And if they become too ubiquitous and too many people use them, they lose their cachet. So they're trying to grab some market share without becoming Android, which is like more the generic approach to technology. So what they've done is they've created smaller and cheaper products. And the idea is that it's going to be a price point more people can take up. Because there are people who will go with other brands simply on the price point. They just can't afford the Apple brand. And the other thing that they are probably looking at is the youth market. So when you're looking at getting people to be habitual users, when you're trying to get people into the fold, young people are really good because they're quite impressionable. So if you're going to get your 10-year-old a phone, you're probably not going to get them a top-of-the-line iPhone.
And the interesting part there, even though a little bit smaller and definitely a little bit cheaper, very important for Apple that it's not too cheap.
Absolutely, because Apple is a premium brand, and they don't want to cheapen their prices. They don't. They also very much. I don't know if you noticed this, but they never go significantly on sale ever. You'll never find an Apple product that's like, let's say, 25% off. 10% is pretty much as low as they're going to go, and they generally do things like education discounts.
It's a rare but very privileged position, isn't it, Natalie, for a brand that has that reputation as never to be discounted?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing that you have to sacrifice when you're going to do that is you have to sacrifice that some people just can't afford it. And you have to be okay with that and make some trade-offs. So what Apple's trying to do in the market is actually really, really a very careful dance between making money, getting people to replace their products, because their products are actually so good, they don't need to be replaced very often, unless you do what I did the other day, which is drop mine and break it. And then I had to buy another one. And they're also trying to maintain their premium approach. So they have a broad range of product, and this is a great entry-level product. So if I could just say, anybody out there who's using Android, you really want to go out and buy this iPhone now, immediately. Or when it comes out.
You're not on the Apple payroll, but some would say you might as well be, Natalie. Well, that's your belief.
I did make the pilgrimage to One Infinite Loop in Palo Alto, Apple headquarters, and I have the T-shirt, so...
Fantastic. Well, we thank you for your time. It is a very interesting subject, and enjoy the rest of your time off doing your homework and preparations.
Thank you very much. Take care.
There's Dr. Natalie Collins, a senior lecturer of the School of Arts and Humanities at Edith Cowan University, and fair to say, an Apple devotee. And just as devoted as some people are towards Apple, there's plenty of others who...